Welcome to the Compassion Fatigue Couch, where I offer quick tips, tricks, and tidbits for managing compassion fatigue in the animal welfare, animal rights, and animal caregiving fields. Plus, some longer bonus episodes featuring in-depth interviews with mental health and industry experts. I'm your host, Jen Blau, and I'm a licensed professional counselor and former shelter worker and animal control officer. I've taken my experience in the trenches combined with my expertise in psychology to help busy animal advocates like you with all things compassion fatigue, burnout, secondary traumatic stress, and overall mental health. Don't forget to subscribe to the show so you never miss a single episode. And for more compassion fatigue resources, visit CompassionFatigueCouch.com. Now on to the show. Hello and welcome back to the Compassion Fatigue Couch. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy day to give us a listen. So today on the show, I would like to talk about something that is very inherent in animal work, whether it's animal welfare, animal rights, or animal caregiving, and that is secondary traumatic stress. So before we jump in, let's talk a little bit about trauma itself. According to the American Psychological Association, trauma is described as an emotional response to a terrible event like an accident, rape, or natural disaster. Now, anyone who has ever experienced trauma, and that's about 50% of women and 60% of men, knows that it can really shake our confidence and turn our worlds upside down. But what about when we experience someone else's trauma? For example, when we bear witness to animal abuse or neglect. It's not us being traumatized, or is it? Secondary or vicarious trauma describes a type of trauma that you experience indirectly. So this may be in the form of hearing about, reading about, or seeing the abuse or any other type of trauma. Now, the term vicarious trauma was first described by psychologists back in 1989. They realized that you don't have to personally or directly experience a trauma to be impacted by it. Now, this later formed the concept of compassion fatigue. In the 90s, trauma specialists, including Charles Figley and Beth Stamm, were researching why those who experienced vicarious trauma began to develop symptoms similar to PTSD. Now, this led to the concept of secondary traumatic stress, which we know now today is one of the components of compassion fatigue. Now, whether you work in an animal shelter, a vet clinic, or anything in between, everyday job responsibilities such as caring for sick, injured, or homeless animals, seeing animal abuse and neglect, or performing euthanasia are commonplace in animal protection work. But they are also forms of secondary traumatic stress. And just like primary trauma, again, an event that threatens your physical or emotional safety and happens directly to you, the accumulation of these stressors, these little T's is what we call them, these secondary traumatic stressors, they can really take a heavy toll. And thanks to the internet and social media, us as a generation, we have been exposed to more secondary trauma than any other generation. And what we know is that chronic exposure to secondary traumatic stress, it can oftentimes change our whole worldview, causing us to see humanity as evil or the world as a dangerous place, for instance. Now, in the worst case scenario, we can even develop PTSD-like symptoms or even the disorder itself. Now, the impact of secondary trauma can be compounded by our own traumatic experiences. Psychologist and compassion fatigue expert Dr. Eric Gentry argues that a lot of people who enter the helping fields, such as animal welfare, often have a history of their own early life trauma. This can lead a lot of us to enter these type of helping professions because we have a desire to end the suffering of others. But if our own painful life experiences are unresolved or they haven't been addressed, this puts us at an increased risk for developing compassion fatigue. So how might someone involved in animal welfare, animal rights, or animal caregiving experience symptoms of secondary traumatic stress versus someone in a different helping field altogether, such as firefighting or nursing or police work? Well, we might have dreams or intrusive thoughts about animal abuse or suffering, euthanasia or death. We might be preoccupied with certain animals or clients. We might allow our work to interfere with our personal life. We might start seeing ourselves as the only ones who can care for or save animals. On the other hand, we might experience chronic feelings of inadequacy. We might place labels on everyone, so we start to label people either as victim or perpetrator. We might view the world as more and more dangerous. Maybe we're feeling chronically fatigued. We can lose interest in pleasurable activities or stop practicing self-care. Maybe we start to lose confidence in ourselves or our self-esteem starts to suffer. We start isolating or withdrawing from others. Maybe we're using unhealthy coping skills such as drugs or alcohol in an effort to self-soothe. We start to feel detached from others. We may be experiencing conflicts with others. Or we might start to chronically feel hopeless and or cynical. So whether you think that you might be struggling with either primary or secondary trauma, or both, I highly encourage you to seek help from a licensed mental health professional who can help you heal from those painful life experiences, whether they are from your past or with your current work. And you may remember last session we talked about top 10 tips for finding a great therapist. If you haven't listened to that episode, I highly recommend that you go back and do so. Now, while not a substitute for therapy, the Compassion Fatigue Couch membership site can be a great supplement or complement to professional treatment and teach you a variety of proven trauma-informed techniques. Things we cover include learning how sleep, exercise, and nutrition can impact your mood, challenging negative thinking patterns and adopting healthy thinking styles, incorporating self-care and self-regulation strategies into your daily life, creating healthy boundaries, building effective communication skills, improving self-confidence and self-esteem, developing healthy coping skills and tools to build resiliency, learning skills to manage things like depression, anxiety, trauma, and stress, and most importantly, connecting with other animal advocates to gain validation and support. So if this sounds like something you might be interested in, something you think might be helpful, head on over to CompassionFatigueCouch.com and check out all the details. And whether you are interested in an individual or a group subscription, you can click on one of the links in the show notes and get half off. That is 50% off your membership. Again, that's CompassionFatigueCouch.com, or click the link in the show notes for 50% off. All right, guys, thanks so much for listening. I hope this has been helpful, and I will see you all next week. This podcast is not meant to provide medical advice or substitute for psychological care. Please consult with a mental health professional if you feel that you may be suffering from depression, anxiety, or PTSD. If you are feeling suicidal, go to your nearest emergency room or contact 911.